It's a Tuesday night, just past 11, and Marcus is at the kitchen counter going through the bills. He does this alone after everyone else is asleep because he does not want his family to worry. He's been the provider since he was 19 years old, and he takes that seriously. Seriously enough that he's never once let his kids go without what they needed, never let his mother make a mortgage payment alone, never let a friend twist in the wind if he had a spare $100 to give. He is, by every measure, a generous man, and right now he feels like a failure. Not because he's broke, he's not, but because the number at the bottom of the page is smaller than last month and smaller than the month before that, and the only move he knows when someone he loves is in trouble is to open the wallet. That's how he was raised. That's what a man does. Give. The trouble Marcus doesn't see yet is not that he gives. It's that he only knows one kind of giving. And the one kind he knows always runs out. Here's the first thing worth saying out loud. Because most men never hear it said, Marcus was taught one way to be a man who gives, and he was taught it by people who loved him and meant well. You earn, and you share what you earn. You step up when someone needs something covered. You don't let the people you love struggle if you have the money to fix it. That is not a bad lesson. That is a real and honoring thing that real men do. But it is one lesson, one tool in a kit that should have five. Imagine a carpenter who was only ever handed a hammer. He'd be the best hammer swinger in the neighborhood, he'd fix everything in sight, and the day the nail head got too small for the hammer, he'd feel useless and broken. Not because he failed, but because nobody ever handed him the other tools. Marcus's generosity is not the problem. The shape of it, every act of giving flowing out through one single valve, is what makes it run dry. Book 3 in the set, the Generosity Book, draws a line between two different shapes of giving. One shape is one way, money, goods, direct help. It flows out and doesn't return, so any man who gives this way exclusively is living on a shrinking supply. The other shape is something different entirely. Think of it less like a faucet and more like a river. A faucet runs until it's turned off or the tank runs dry. A river runs because the land itself feeds it. Rain upstream, springs from the ground, the whole watershed working together. When Marcus connects two people who need each other, value flows between them, and he didn't spend a drop of his own supply to make it happen. When he mentors a younger man, he doesn't lose what he knows. He passes it forward, still holding every bit of it himself. Plus now there's a man in the world who carries a piece of Marcus's thinking and is better for it. That kind of giving doesn't drain because it doesn't come from one source. It comes from the whole situation Marcus helped create. The flow comes back, not as a reward Marcus chases, but as a natural fact of the shape. Water finds its own level, and so does giving when it moves in more than one direction. So let's get specific. There are three kinds of giving that cost no money, add to your supply instead of draining it, and make you needed in a way that a check never will. The first is opening doors. A door is any introduction, connection, or heads up that you can make with a phone call or a text. Marcus knows the hiring manager at the plant. He knows the contractor who does good work at a fair price. He knows the guy who can get the younger man's resume in front of the right people. When Marcus makes that call and says, "I want you to talk to someone," that costs him $0, and it can change a man's whole year. People don't forget who opened a door for them. They remember it the way they remember the kindest thing anyone ever did for them, because in a lot of cases, it is. The second move is vouching. Vouching is giving your word, your actual word, your reputation, for someone. I know him personally, I've seen his work, he'll do right by you. That's a gift of trust, not money. It can open the door that money can't, because the world runs on who will stand behind who, and standing behind someone costs Marcus only his good name. And the third move is teaching. Whatever Marcus is good at, his trade, his way with a difficult customer, how to read a contract, how to stay calm when a deal goes sideways, that's a gift no wallet can produce. A younger man who sits with Marcus for an hour and walks out knowing something he didn't know before has been given something that earns interest for the rest of his life. Now here's the quiet truth that gets missed in every conversation about men and generosity, and I want to say it plainly. A check does something. It solves a problem. The man who received it is grateful, maybe deeply grateful, and then life moves on and the moment fades. But when Marcus opens a door, he doesn't just solve a problem, he changes the shape of the other man's life. And the other man knows it, in his bones, in the way he'll tell the story years later. He'll say, "Marcus made the call that got me the job. Marcus put my name in front of the right person. That's not gratitude for a transaction. That's something closer to loyalty." And when Marcus vouches for someone, when he puts his good name behind a man and says, "He's one of mine," there's a bond there that money cannot make and time does not break. Because being vouched for is being seen. It's being told. Someone with something to lose believes in you enough to stake their reputation on it. That is one of the most meaningful things one man can do for another. And the teaching, sitting down with a younger man and passing forward what you've learned the hard way, that makes you, in that man's life, the person who changed how he moves through the world. A man can replace a check. He cannot replace the person who taught him how to do the thing he now does well. Now I can hear the pushback, and it's the right one. If Marcus opens doors for everybody, puts his word behind people, teaches anyone who asks, isn't he just setting himself up to be used? Doesn't that make him the guy who carries the whole neighborhood while everybody else takes? Good question. Hold on to it, because it's not wrong. There are people who only take. They exist. They've always existed, and any man who ignores that is going to get burned. But here is what the pushback misses. When Marcus gives only money, he's invisible as a giver. Anyone who takes from him can do it quietly and nobody knows. The check clears, the problem goes away, and the taker moves on with no one watching. But when Marcus opens a door, makes an introduction, vouches for a man, spends an hour teaching, those acts are visible. People see them. The men who were connected know Marcus made it happen. The man who was vouched for knows his reputation is now tied to Marcus's. There's something at stake on both sides. And the man who takes an introduction and squanders it, who gets vouched for and acts badly, that reflects back on him immediately in plain sight of people who care about Marcus. The giving that doesn't cost money has a natural exposure built in. Takers don't like the light. They thrive in the dark of the one-way transaction. Switch to giving, that's visible. That leaves a mark. That lives in the story people tell about each other. And the takers have nowhere comfortable to hide. Let me bring in something old here. Because people have understood a piece of this for a very long time. Long before anyone wrote a business book about it. When people who study how gifts move through communities looked at cultures all across the world and through history, they kept finding the same quiet rule hiding inside the different traditions. The rule was this: a gift is alive when it keeps moving. Not held, not stored, not converted into something private. Moving, passing, going on to someone else. The value of a gift was understood to grow as it traveled. A thing that got clutched and locked away went stale and lost whatever made it worth giving. This is not a modern idea. It shows up in too many different times and places to belong to any one of them. Now apply that to what Marcus knows. The skill Marcus has at negotiating a deal, what happens when he keeps it to himself? It helps him, and only him, and when Marcus is gone, it's gone with him. What happens when he teaches it to three younger men? It lives in three other people, and they each teach it forward in their time, and Marcus becomes the origin point of something that keeps going long past anything he'll ever see. The knowledge traveled. It didn't wear out from the traveling. It grew. Let me show you what this looks like for Marcus, not as a story about other people, but as his own life changed. Marcus mentors a younger man, let's call him Devin, for 3 months. Sits with him twice a week, teaches him how to price a job, how to deal with a difficult client, how to make sure he gets paid. Devin gets good. Devin gets his first real contract. Devin calls Marcus before he signs it, because Devin knows who helped him get there. 6 months later, Devin hears that Marcus needs a skilled set of hands on a rush job. Devin shows up, no questions asked, the kind of help that money can't schedule on short notice. Marcus connects two guys he knows who should know each other. One needs a supplier, one is a supplier. They do a deal. Months later, one of them puts Marcus's name in front of a client that Marcus never would have reached alone. Marcus spends an hour helping a young man from the block work on his resume and how to talk in an interview. That young man gets the job. His mother, who has known Marcus for 20 years, now has a kind of trust in Marcus that no amount of lawn mowing for her would have created. What Marcus has built is something that has a name in Book 3. It's sometimes called a jar, a place where many people put in, many people take out, and because many hands fill it, it never runs dry. Marcus is at the center of it, not because he controls it, because he started it, and the people he helped now help him and each other, and the whole thing keeps going on its own. That's not luck. That's the shape he chose. Let's bring this to you now, because it stops meaning anything the moment it's just a story about Marcus and Devin. Three honest questions, and I want you to actually sit with them. First, what do you know that a younger man would be changed by? Not what's impressive, not what sounds like a credential. What have you learned the hard way that you wish someone had told you when you were 22? That's the thing worth giving. Second, who have you been meaning to connect for months and just haven't made the call? Two people you know who should know each other, and the only reason they don't is that you haven't picked up the phone. How long does that call take? Maybe 3 minutes? What does it cost you? Nothing. What might it change for one of them? A lot. Third, whose name could you put your word behind right now? Someone younger? Someone earlier in the road? Someone doing good work that the right people haven't noticed yet. What would it cost you to make that one call, send that one message, say out loud, "He's one of mine"? Sit with the three of them. You probably already have a face for at least one of them. That face is not an accident. So here's your one thing this week, and the rule is simple. You are not spending a dime. One act of giving that costs you nothing but your time, your word, or what you know. Option 1, make the call. Pick the two people who should know each other and introduce them. Send the message. Make the connection happen today, not next week. Option 2, give the hour. Sit down with someone younger, your kid, your nephew, a young man from the neighborhood, and teach him the thing you wish you'd been taught. Not a lecture, a conversation, one thing you know that he doesn't. Option 3, put your word behind someone. Think of a young man doing good work who needs someone to say, "He's one of mine," in the right room. Be that person this week. Say it. Write it. Make the call. None of these cost you money. All of them cost you something. Your attention, your word, your time, which means they are real giving, not cheap giving. And you will notice, over the weeks that follow, that the men you helped in these ways are different towards you than the men you've only ever helped with money. They're not just grateful, they're bonded. That's what you've been trying to build. You just didn't know there was a word for it. The word is needed. So that's book three, Through a Man's Lens. You were taught one kind of giving, the kind that empties. That's not a failure. That's a gap in the teaching. The other kind, opening doors, vouching, passing forward what you know, costs you nothing from the wallet and gives you something money can't buy. Men who are genuinely bonded to you, who see you as the person who changed something in their lives, who show up when you need a hand because you showed up when they did. The flow comes back, not because you tracked it or expected it, because that's what happens when giving moves in more than one direction. Give one thing this week that isn't money. Make the call. Spend the hour. Put your word behind someone. See what comes back. The book has the full map of how this works. The long read? Whenever you want it. Next time we go deeper into the crew, the men actually around you, what that circle is worth, and how to start building it on purpose. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. Take care of yourself.